Today, I want to do a deep dive on a cluster of recent papers that all orbit a shared idea. If we want medical vision models to become genuinely powerful, robust, and useful, we may need them to build something like an internal anatomical world model instead of mapping images directly to labels. That framing comes from the ideas note for this episode. The note compares medical imaging systems to the Waymo design philosophy that avoids going straight from camera pixels to driving actions. Instead, the autonomous driving system constructs an intermediate representation of the scene, the positions of agents, their trajectories, and the structure of the world. That representation makes prediction and planning more reliable. The note asks whether medicine needs an analogous move. Instead of going from CT voxels or X-ray pixels directly to segmentation masks, disease labels, or reports, maybe we need models that explicitly represent anatomy, connectivity, geometry, deformability, and the consequences of interventions. That is a strong hypothesis, and it matters because standard end-to-end medical vision systems do have familiar failure modes. They often learn the usual arrangement of organs, the usual appearance of pathology, and the usual imaging orientation. That works remarkably well in distribution. But it is also exactly the regime where shortcut learning can hide inside strong benchmark performance. If a model has mostly learned common co-occurrence patterns and common spatial layouts, then transplants, resections, unusual pathology, distorted anatomy, flipped orientation, or cross-modality transfer can break it. The four papers for this episode sit at different points on that spectrum. The first paper, AOR, or Anatomical Ontology Guided Reasoning for Medical Large Multimodal Model in Chest X-ray Interpretation, tries to make chest X-ray multimodal models reason step-by-step over named anatomical regions with region boxes, region features, and chain of thought style supervision. The second paper, Anatomics, also in chest X-ray interpretation, argues that ordinary grounding is not enough. It proposes a more anatomy-first pipeline that explicitly detects thoracic structures before solving downstream tasks, and it stress tests the model with horizontally flipped images to see whether it really understands anatomy or is just leaning on orientation shortcuts. The third paper, KG-SAM, comes from segmentation rather than language modeling. It asks what happens if you take a foundation segmentation model like SAM and inject anatomical priors through a medical knowledge graph, a conditional random field, and an uncertainty-aware fusion module. The fourth paper, Beyond Medical Diagnostics, How Medical Multimodal Large Language Models Think in Space, is a benchmark paper. It does not primarily present a new model. It builds SpatialMed, a 3D CT benchmark for spatial reasoning, distance, size, and volume estimation, and then shows that current multimodal large language models are much worse at these tasks than a lot of their broader medical branding would suggest. Together, these papers make a compelling sequence. AOR says region-level reasoning matters. Anatomic says anatomy-aware objectization matters even more than generic grounding. KG-SAM says explicit structural priors and uncertainty can repair segmentation behavior. SpatialMed says that even if we have made progress in grounded chest X-rays, we still do not have models that reason robustly about three-dimensional anatomy and quantitative geometry. My plan is to go paper by paper, spend real time on the methods, and keep tying each paper back to the bigger question from the ideas note. What would an intermediate representation of anatomy actually look like? And how close are these papers to building one? Before getting into the individual papers, I want to sharpen the central thesis, because it will help organize everything that follows. The ideas note is not just saying use more labels, or use a bigger model, or add more data. It is making a representational claim. It says that medical intelligence may require a latent space organized around bodies and structures, not just around image statistics. That means at least five things. First, the representation should carry object identity, not just blurry visual patches, but something like, this is the left lung, this is the mediastinum, this is the pancreatic head, this is the renal mass. Second, it should carry spatial relationships. Not just whether two things are present, but where they are relative to one another. Whether one lies anterior to another, whether a lesion abuts a vessel, whether a nerve pathway is likely to course through a region, whether a volume is enlarged, and whether a displacement is expected or abnormal. Third, it should carry hierarchy and part-whole structure. The body is not a bag of pixels. It has nested organization, thorax, lungs, lobes, bronchi, vessels, pleura, mediastinum, heart, chambers, great vessels, brain, ventricles, white matter tracts, liver segments, portal structures. Fourth, it should carry constraints and invariants. Organs can move, deform, be resected, or be transplanted, but that movement is not arbitrary. There are biological plausibility constraints, adjacency constraints, and functional constraints. A robust model should know which spatial changes are ordinary, which are possible but unusual, and which are implausible. Fifth, it should support simulation-like reasoning. If I bend a joint, faraway points become close. If I remove an organ, surrounding structures shift. If a mass grows, it compresses nearby anatomy. If a lesion is in one lobe, a likely drainage pattern or complication chain changes. This is the hardest part, and none of the papers fully solve it, but it is where the ideas note is aiming. With that in place, we can use the papers almost as a ladder. AOR and anatomics mostly live in the object identity, hierarchy, and region grounding regime, mainly on 2D chest x-rays. KG-SAM moves toward explicit constraints. SpatialMet forces the field to confront quantitative 3D geometry. None of them yet gives us a full body simulator or a canonical latent anatomy space, but several of them are clearly stepping away from pure end-to-end shortcuts and towards structured representations. Let's start with AOR. The paper opens from a pretty recognizable critique of medical large multimodal models. The authors say current chest x-ray models have two core weaknesses. One is insufficient region-level understanding and interaction. The other is limited accuracy and interpretability, because their reasoning is effectively single-step and black box. That is a fair diagnosis of a lot of current medical multimodal work. Models can answer questions and generate reports, but often without a clean mechanism for showing which anatomical regions they used and how they moved from observations to conclusions. AOR's response is to build what it calls an anatomical ontology-guided reasoning framework. The architecture has three main pieces: an image encoder, a region encoder, and a large language model. The image encoder gets the whole chest x-ray. The region encoder extracts multi-scale region features using anatomical boxes. Then the language model reasons jointly over image features, region features, textual inputs, and coordinates. The training procedure matters here. It has three stages. Stage one is anatomical region recognition. The model learns to align region features with linguistic embeddings, so that if you point it to a boxed anatomical region, it can identify what that region is. Stage two is anatomical region grounding. The model learns the reverse mapping as well. It can generate coordinates for a named region, and it also revisits recognition with coordinates concatenated to region features so that the spatial format used later in reasoning is already familiar. Stage three is instruction tuning on the AOR instruction dataset. This dataset is the paper's second major contribution. It includes AOR VQA and AOR RG, meaning visual question answering and report generation, but both built around region-aware supervision. For VQA, the authors generate chain-of-thought answers under physician guidance using anatomical ontologies. For report generation, they use full image reports plus region sentence alignments, so the model can generate sentences for specific anatomical regions, not just one global report blob. That is the core conceptual move. The model is not merely asked a question about an image. It is nudged into reasoning over named anatomical regions represented as triplets of region name, coordinates, and ROI visual features. Already you can see the connection to the ideas note. This is a move away from pixels straight to answer. It is still not a full intermediate anatomical representation because the ontology is handcrafted and the region inventory is fixed to chest x-ray anatomy, but it is clearly more structured than ordinary image token plus text prompting. The most interesting part of AOR, in my view, is not just that it uses regions. It is the way it uses ontologies to scaffold reasoning. The paper describes three kinds of anatomical ontology in constructing its chain of thought data. One is hierarchical relationships between objects. For example, a parent region like the mediastinum contains subregions such as the upper mediastinum and cardiac silhouette. That matters because radiologists often move from whole to part and part back to whole. A global impression like widened mediastinum can be decomposed into more local observations. Another ontology type captures causal relationships between attributes. In medicine, attributes are rarely independent. Enlargement, opacity, effusion, tube placement, and silhouette changes co-constrain interpretation. An ontology can encode which attributes tend to imply or contextualize others. A third ontology type, though less memorable in wording than the hierarchy idea, is about better structuring the symptom-lesion-disease relation, so the chain of thought does not become generic language filler. The point is to force reasoning to travel through anatomy. This is where AOR gets closer to the intermediate representation thesis. A useful intermediate representation does not just name objects. It also organizes how observations on those objects compose. AOR does that in a relatively symbolic way: object hierarchy, region attributes, region coordinates, and aligned visual crops. Methodologically, it still relies on annotated anatomical boxes from chest imagenome and on generated instruction data. So a limitation is that the representation is partly inherited from the annotation scheme. it is not discovering a universal anatomical state space from raw data. But that may be fine. In medicine, structured priors are often an advantage rather than a weakness, especially early in the development cycle. Another important detail is the region feature extraction. They do not just crop pixels once. The region encoder builds a hierarchical feature pyramid from multiple layers of the image encoder and applies ROI aligned to generate multi-scale region features. That is a sensible engineering choice because subtle findings on chest X-rays depend on both local texture and larger contextual geometry. A line, a tube tip, or a basal opacity is easy to misread if you only look locally. The result is a hybrid representation with three ingredients: symbolic identity, geometry and coordinates, and learned local appearance. That triad is useful to remember because it recurs in different form across the other papers too.
How well does it work? The paper reports that AOR outperforms the second best medical large multimodal model by an average of about 6.81% on VQA and about 5.27% on report generation. In the detailed VQA discussion, the text also says the text-only AOR variant beats the second best method by about 6.98% on Mimic CXR VQA, with especially strong gains on the more complex choose and query question types. Those are exactly the kinds of gains you would expect if the model is getting better at compositional reasoning, not just yes-no pattern matching. The report generation side is also notable because the authors emphasize region report generation, not only full image report generation. That matters. A model that can produce a sentence about a specified region is closer to being interactive and inspectable. It suggests a user could ask, "What is happening in the left base, or around this tube, or in this highlighted area?" rather than accepting one monolithic report. I also liked the analysis of referring and grounding. With all three training stages, they report referring accuracy around 98.58% and grounding recall at 0.7 IOU of 90.4%. Those numbers are obviously task-specific, but the underlying point is more important. The region reasoning machinery is not only decorative, it seems to actually support the model's ability to refer to and ground anatomical structures. There is a robustness experiment too. They shift the region boxes during inference to see how prediction quality changes. Small shifts barely affect performance, but larger shifts degrade reasoning because the first step of the process can misclassify the region itself. I actually think that failure mode is informative in a good way. If performance degrades because the model reasoned over the wrong anatomical object after a shift, that implies it really was using the object identity step rather than ignoring it. So what does AOR contribute relative to the ideas note? It contributes an anatomy-indexed reasoning format. The model is encouraged to think in terms of regions, coordinates, and localized evidence. That is a meaningful step toward an intermediate representation of the body. What does it not solve? A lot. It is still fundamentally a chest X-ray system, so its spatial world is compressed into a two-dimensional projection. It is also mostly operating over fixed regions rather than over a richer relational graph of anatomy that could generalize across modalities and deformations. It does not explicitly model connectivity, function, or counterfactual changes. And because it leans heavily on physician-designed ontologies and generated chain-of-thought data, one should wonder how portable the approach is when anatomy becomes much messier, like abdominal CT, postoperative MRI, or intraoperative imaging. Still, AOR is a clean proof of concept for the claim that structured anatomical mediation helps.
Now let's move to AnatomyX, which is probably the paper in this set that most directly resonates with the ideas note. The authors start from a pointed criticism. Current grounded chest X-ray multimodal models may improve performance, but they often do not establish true anatomical correspondence. In other words, generic grounding is not the same thing as anatomical understanding. That is a sharp and important distinction. A model can learn that some phrase often aligns with a patch in roughly the left lower image quadrant without actually understanding that it is the left lower lung, why it is the left lower lung, or what would happen if orientation cues were perturbed. If that is how the model works, then it can do well on normal data while remaining brittle in exactly the kinds of situations the ideas file worries about. AnatomyX responds with a two-stage architecture inspired by radiologist workflow. First, it identifies thoracic anatomical structures and extracts their features. Then it hands those structure-aware representations to a language model for downstream tasks such as phrase grounding, report generation, VQA, and image understanding. That two-stage design is conceptually stronger than simply appending grounding tokens to a conventional multimodal language model. Instead of hoping the model implicitly infers anatomy inside a monolithic representation, the system makes anatomy perception an explicit module. The anatomy perception module, or APM, is the key component. It uses an image encoder to produce patch embeddings, then a DTR-like decoder with learnable object tokens, one token per predefined anatomical object. Importantly, these tokens are not permutation invariant, the way DTR object queries usually are. Each token is intended to correspond to a particular thoracic structure. The module predicts bounding boxes for these anatomical objects and extracts localized anatomical features using cross-attention. Then comes a contrastive alignment stage. The model aligns each anatomical token with textual descriptions of the corresponding region, using a sentence encoder and a soft contrastive objective. The authors argue that ordinary clip-style hard positives and negatives are not ideal in chest x-rays because radiological findings often overlap across multiple regions. Their self-similarity formulation allows related regions to share non-zero similarity, rather than forcing the representation to act as if each region is completely distinct from every other region's clinical semantics. At inference time, they replace the training time sentence encoder with a vector database of pre-computed textual region descriptions. That is an interesting systems choice. It effectively gives the model a small anatomical memory bank of region-associated sentences that it can retrieve against the learned anatomical token features. So the representation here is richer than in AOR. It includes predefined anatomical object tokens, predicted boxes, localized visual features, and retrieved region text. It is still not a full latent body model, but it is absolutely an attempt to build a structured anatomical bottleneck before language generation. The single most persuasive thing in AnatomyX is the flipped image evaluation. The authors make the claim that current state-of-the-art multimodal models can look competent on standard chest x-rays while failing to identify correct anatomical objects when left and right are swapped. That would be a classic sign of shortcut learning. The model is using orientation priors and common layout correlations rather than stable object understanding. So they run phrase grounding and anatomy grounding on horizontally flipped images. According to the paper, RAD-VLM, which is a strong baseline, degrades drastically on structures requiring correct laterality identification, dropping to an average IOU and MAP around 0.108 and 0.08. AnatomyX, in contrast, maintains much stronger performance under flipping, with average IOU and MAP around 0.712 and 0.605. They also remove radiological markers from a subset of images and say AnatomyX still grounds correctly, suggesting the gains are not just from reading textual orientation markers embedded in the image. This matters a lot for the ideas note. One of the note's core complaints is that typical models learn typical arrangements of voxels or pixels and then fail in unusual configurations. A flipped chest x-ray is not the same as a transplanted organ, but it is a very good stress test for whether a model's spatial competence is truly anatomy-centered. If a model cannot survive laterality inversion, it definitely does not have the kind of intermediate anatomical representation the note imagines. That is why I think AnatomyX is more than just another incremental grounding paper. It is trying to test whether the model has internalized anatomical identity in a way that is partially invariant to superficial image layout habits. That said, we should be precise. Passing a flip test does not prove the model understands anatomy in the deep causal or biomechanical sense. It proves something narrower, but still valuable. The object-centric representation is less entangled with the training distribution's standard orientation shortcuts. In other words, AnatomyX gives us evidence of better structural invariance, not yet evidence of a full anatomical simulator. Quantitatively, the paper is ambitious. It claims over 25% improvement on anatomy grounding and large gains on phrase grounding, grounded diagnosis, and grounded captioning relative to prior approaches. It also reports strong performance on report generation, image understanding, and VQA, with one notable nuance. On Chexpert 14F1 for report generation, AnatomyX is not the top model, though the authors point out that some stronger baselines there use roughly 1.5 times more parameters. The ablation story is also useful. Predicted boxes help anatomy grounding a lot. Anatomical tokens especially help grounding tasks. Retrieved sentences help more on linguistically intensive tasks like report generation and detailed captioning. That separation is intuitively right. Spatial object tokens help you know what and where. Retrieved text helps you say it well and connect it to radiological language. So how does this paper map onto the ideas note? Quite closely, at least in miniature. The note says future models may need to transform different kinds of data into a latent space that can express not just absolute positioning of objects, but connectivity and more robust body knowledge. AnatomyX is not multimodal in that broad sense, and it is not about surgery or cross-modality transfer.
but it is much closer than standard chest X-ray multimodal models to representing anatomy as a set of named, localized, semantically enriched objects before diagnosis or language generation. This is exactly the kind of architectural move you would make if you believe that medical models need an intermediate representation of the body, not the final destination, but clearly the right direction. Where does it still fall short? Again, mostly on scope and depth. It is still limited to thoracic anatomy on chest X-rays. Its object vocabulary is predefined, its geometry is 2D bounding box-based, and its notion of relation is more implicit than explicit. It does not really model topology, physical deformation, blood supply, nerve pathways, or the functional consequences of anatomical change. It is better described as anatomy-aware objectization than as full anatomy modeling. But if I were choosing one paper here that most naturally supports the LinkedIn Post's thesis, it would probably be this one, because the paper's key message is not just that medical models need grounding, it is that they need true anatomical correspondence, and that generic multimodal grounding is not enough. The third paper, K.G. Sam, sits in a different part of the landscape. It is about segmentation, not chest X-ray language modeling. But it is extremely relevant, because it addresses a slightly more classical medical AI problem, how to ensure anatomically coherent predictions from a foundation model. The starting point is the Segment Anything model, or SAM. SAM is powerful, general, and attractive as a foundation model. But the paper argues that direct application to medical imaging is hampered by low contrast boundaries, weak anatomical consistency, and lack of uncertainty quantification. Those criticisms are all plausible. SAM is good at generic segmentation prompts, but medicine is full of ambiguous edges and structures whose interpretation depends on global anatomical context. K.G. Sam adds three things. First, a medical knowledge graph representing anatomical structures and their relationships. Second, an energy-based conditional random field that fuses image-based predictions with anatomical constraints from the knowledge graph. Third, an uncertainty-aware fusion mechanism that uses uncertainty estimates to improve reliability. This is a different flavor of intermediate representation than AOR or anatomonics. Those papers build region and object representations to support reasoning and language. K.G. Sam builds structured priors and optimization terms to constrain pixel-wise segmentation. But philosophically, it is making the same argument. Pixels alone are not enough. Let's unpack the method, because it is conceptually interesting. Sam's vision transformer encoder produces embeddings from the input medical image. A decoder head then emits two things, an initial probability map for segmentation and dense feature representations used for pairwise reasoning. Parallel to that, the knowledge stream constructs a medical knowledge graph with nodes representing anatomical structures, edges representing relations like adjacency or hierarchical subdivision, and a rule set encoding constraints derived from anatomical knowledge sources such as atlases and reports. The paper also mentions learning an affine transformation that maps image landmarks to a standardized anatomical atlas, so the graph-based priors can align with patient images. The CRF energy function then combines three terms. The unary term comes from the initial pixel-wise probability map. The pairwise term encourages local consistency based on feature similarity, which is standard CRF logic. The novel part is the anatomical potential. This term penalizes segmentations that violate expected spatial distributions of organs relative to one another, according to the knowledge graph. So if the predicted region for one organ ends up implausibly related to another organ, the energy goes up. That is an explicit instantiation of the idea's notes' concern about robustness to unusual or shifted arrangements. Now, to be clear, K.G. Sam is not designed for transplants or radical anatomic rearrangements. In fact, strong priors can overpenalize true but rare anatomy if not designed carefully. But the important point is that the model is no longer free to optimize only local appearance. It must negotiate between image evidence and anatomical plausibility. The uncertainty map is also worth noting. It combines aleatoric uncertainty from prediction entropy, or stochastic passes, with structural uncertainty reflecting violation of anatomical rules. That is appealing conceptually, because in medicine, being uncertain is not only about noisy edges. It can also be about recognizing that the predicted anatomy does not fit the expected structure well. This is closer to a model that knows when the body it is seeing does not fit its prior. The headline results are straightforward. K.G. Sam reaches an average DICE score of 82.69%, on a multi-site prostate segmentation benchmark, and shows strong results on abdominal MRI and CT as well. The paper says this is about 14.71% better than baseline SAM implementations in challenging tasks. When they bolt the framework onto DSAM, they get KGDSAM,
which reaches 84.52% overall DICE, an additional gain over both KG-SAM and DSAM. The ablations tell the more interesting story. Adding only CRF helps. Adding only the knowledge graph helps. Adding the uncertainty fusion alone helps less, but still contributes. The full combination performs best, and removing any one component hurts. On the prostate data, the full model gains about 10.6% over the baseline in their ablation table. So what is the conceptual takeaway? KG-SAM suggests that explicit anatomical priors and structured posteriors are not obsolete in the era of foundation models. In fact, they may become more important. Foundation models give you broad visual competence, but medicine often needs lawful outputs, not just plausible ones. This paper also pushes back, quietly, on a naive end-to-end ideology. If you think enough data and enough parameters will automatically induce anatomical correctness, KG-SAM is evidence that explicit structure still buys you real performance. Relative to the ideas note, the paper is important because it points toward one ingredient the note implicitly wants: constraints. An intermediate anatomical representation is not just a set of objects floating in latent space. It is a constrained object system. Organs have relative positions, expected shapes, adjacency relations, and uncertainty profiles. KG-SAM captures some of that explicitly, but it is also limited. The graph is hand-built. The constraints are comparatively static. The model is mostly about segmentation coherence, not broad reasoning. And again, there is an important caveat. A strong prior can improve typical cases while making truly atypical anatomy harder unless the model has mechanisms for recognizing exceptions rather than suppressing them. So if the long-term goal is robustness to transplants, radical postoperative anatomy, or severe pathology, then the next step after KG-SAM is not merely stronger priors, it is priors plus flexible exception handling. Still, this paper is a good reminder that medical AI may need explicit structure and uncertainty long after generalist vision foundation models seem visually impressive. The fourth paper is the benchmark paper, Beyond Medical Diagnostics: How Medical Multimodal Large Language Models Think in Space. This one is especially valuable because benchmarks often reveal what the field is quietly not good at yet. And here, the message is blunt. Current medical multimodal large language models do not have robust 3D spatial reasoning capabilities. The authors introduce SpatialMed, which they describe as the first comprehensive benchmark for evaluating 3D spatial intelligence in medical multimodal models using CT. It contains about 9,782 question-answer pairs across 2,375 CT scans, spanning 117 anatomical structures and multiple tumor types. The tasks include directional reasoning, distance reasoning, extent and size reasoning, volume magnitude reasoning, comparative reasoning, and direct volume estimation. That task design is crucial. Many existing medical multimodal benchmarks mostly reward diagnosis, captioning, or report generation. Those are useful, but they often allow models to succeed through textual priors or qualitative pattern recognition. SpatialMed instead asks for grounded quantitative reasoning over volumetric anatomy. This is exactly the territory the ideas note cares about when it talks about doctors reasoning through arbitrary slices, mental overlays from hadaveric anatomy, and transferring knowledge across modalities and spatial configurations. If a model cannot reliably estimate volume, compare distances, or reason about 3D relations between organs and lesions, then it does not yet have the kind of intermediate anatomical understanding the note envisions. Methodologically, the paper is clever. Rather than manually writing thousands of spatial questions from scratch, the authors build an agentic pipeline that uses computational tools to extract quantitative information from segmentation masks and CT volumes. They introduce three main tools: a volume calculator, a 3D bounding box extractor, and a distance calculator based on Euclidean distance between object centers. Then they use predefined templates, retrieval augmented generation from PubMed, and multiple agents to synthesize question-answer pairs. Finally, three board-certified radiologists validate the quality. I like this because it gives the benchmark a stronger grounding than generic LLM-written questions. The answers are tied to measurable spatial metadata derived from actual volumetric segmentations. The six task families are also nicely chosen. Directional reasoning tests relative position. Distance reasoning tests geometric relation. Extent and shape reasoning tests size and bounding box style understanding. Volume reasoning tests magnitude and threshold style judgments. Comparative reasoning tests ranking and pairwise magnitude comparison. And the direct volume estimation tasks test whether models can actually produce numbers instead of hiding behind qualitative language. That last point is huge. A lot of multimodal models can sound intelligent without being quantitatively committed. Medicine punishes that. In surgery planning, oncology follow-up, or interventional work, a hand-wavy answer is not enough. So spatial med is not just another benchmark. It is a diagnostic tool for a missing capability class.
The results are sobering. On multiple-choice spatial reasoning, several state-of-the-art models are near the random baseline of 25%.
Distance reasoning is described as a universal bottleneck. Scaling within a model family is not even monotonic. A smaller model can outperform a larger one on grounded three-dimensional reasoning. That is a good reminder that broad benchmark strength or larger parameter count does not automatically imply better geometric intelligence. For volume estimation, the paper uses a metric called mean relative accuracy and reports that many models struggle badly. Some produce NaN because they cannot or do not reliably commit to numerical outputs. Even medically pre-trained models do not uniformly improve over general domain models. That suggests a lot of medical tuning has emphasized recognition, classification, and narrative explanation without really teaching models quantitative geometry. The failure analysis is even more interesting. The authors categorize errors into visual perception errors, linguistic intelligence errors, relational reasoning errors, and numeric reasoning errors. They also analyze chain of thought faithfulness and argue that many reasoning traces are hallucinated. In other words, the model often does not just get the answer wrong. It also explains itself wrongly in ways that are not grounded in the spatial facts of the case. This paper, more than the others, directly supports the strongest version of the ideas nodes thesis. If current models really had good intermediate representations of anatomy, we would expect much better performance on 3D spatial tasks than this. Instead, the field is still largely in the regime of qualitative recognition with shaky geometric commitment. The author's conclusions are fairly direct. The field needs better spatial chain of thought reasoning, self-supervised spatial objectives, structured numeric output constraints, and faithfulness-aware training. I would add that it probably also needs architectures that are not just language models wearing medical clothes. You may need explicit object state representations, geometry modules, learned anatomical coordinate systems, or world model-like latent spaces if you want real 3D anatomical reasoning.
Now that we have gone through the four papers, I want to line them up against the original ideas note. The note imagines a future model that can express absolute positioning, connectivity relationships, effects of changing function, and the effects of bending or rearranging body parts so that knowledge transfers across settings like CT, MRI, surgery, and cadaveric anatomy. How close do these papers get? AOR gets partway there by introducing anatomy-centered multimodal reasoning. It says reasoning should run through named anatomical regions, coordinates, and localized features. That is a move toward intermediate representation, but mostly at the level of region-indexed reasoning on 2D chest x-rays. Anatomics goes a step further by making anatomy perception itself a first-class module. It converts the image into a collection of anatomical object tokens, plus boxes and semantically aligned region descriptions before downstream tasks. That is much closer to saying, first parse the body, then reason. It also shows that this representation is more robust to orientation shifts, which is exactly what you would hope from a better intermediate representation. KGSAM adds a different missing ingredient, hard or semi-hard structural constraints, plus uncertainty. It says a model should not just see anatomy. It should be penalized for implausible anatomy, and should know when it is uncertain because visual evidence and anatomical priors conflict. Spatial med then exposes the gap. Even with all the recent progress, the field still does not have strong 3D spatial reasoning, distance estimation, or numeric commitment. In a sense, this benchmark is the reality check that keeps the first three papers from being overinterpreted. So taken together, the papers do not yet give us the full anatomy latent space imagined in the ideas note, but they do sketch a roadmap. Step 1, objectize the anatomy. Step 2, align objects with language and clinical semantics. Step 3, encode relations, hierarchy, and constraints among objects. Step 4, move from 2D proxy tasks toward 3D quantitative reasoning. Step 5, train models to produce faithful, numerically stable, clinically grounded inferences rather than plausible prose. That is a very coherent direction.
I want to spend a few minutes on what is still missing, because this is where the ideas note is more ambitious than the current literature.
One missing piece is connectivity. The post talks about pathways of nerves, functional effects, and long-range relations. None of these papers really models connectivity in the deep anatomical sense. KGSAM has graph edges, but those are mostly static relational priors.
AOR and Anatomix have region and object structure, but not vascular trees, bronchial branching, fascial planes, lymphatic drainage, or biomechanical couplings. Another missing piece is deformation and viewpoint invariance in three dimensions. Anatomix's flip experiments are valuable, but flipping a chest x-ray is still a shallow transformation compared with real 3D anatomical variability, patient positioning, respiratory phase, surgical alteration, or cross-modality registration. A third missing piece is function. The ideas note does not want only geometry. It wants a latent space that can express effects of changing function. That would mean a model that understands not just where anatomy is, but how physiology changes if a structure is obstructed, compressed, removed, or reperfused. None of the four papers really tackles that. A fourth missing piece is counterfactual reasoning. If this organ were transplanted, if this lobe were resected, if this mass doubled in size, if the joint flexed, if the patient posture changed, what would happen to relative geometry and interpretation? That is much closer to simulation than to standard multimodal question answering. And a fifth missing piece is cross-modality unification. The ideas note imagines using cadaveric knowledge, CT anatomy, MRI, and intraoperative guidance in one unified mental model. These papers are still mostly modality-specific. Chest x-ray models for AOR and Anatomix, segmentation on MRI and CT for KG-SAM, and benchmarked CT reasoning for spatial med. So if we take the LinkedIn post seriously, the next frontier is not just better chest x-ray grounding. It is models that can learn a canonical but flexible anatomical state space, spanning structures, relations, hierarchy, uncertainty, and change.
If you later revise the post to foreground one or two papers, my view is that the best anchors are Anatomix and spatial med, with AOR as a strong supporting citation and KG-SAM as an important adjacent example.
Why Anatomix? Because it most directly supports the claim that ordinary end-to-end or generic grounding models are not enough, and that explicitly anatomy-aware intermediate structure improves robustness and spatial understanding. Its flipped image analysis makes the argument vivid. If the model really knows anatomy, it should not collapse when superficial orientation cues change. Why spatial med? Because it shows the problem is not solved. It provides the negative evidence that justifies the whole thesis. Current models still lack robust 3D spatial reasoning and numeric reliability. So the call for richer intermediate anatomy representations is not speculative rhetoric. It is motivated by a measurable capability gap. Why keep AOR in the conversation? Because it shows that anatomy-guided multi-step reasoning with region-level supervision can already improve VQA and report generation in a concrete way. It is strong evidence that routing reasoning through anatomy helps. And why mention KG-SAM? Because it broadens the thesis beyond multimodal language models. The need for anatomical priors and structured constraints is not only a report generation or VQA issue. It appears in segmentation too, which suggests the deeper problem is representational rather than task-specific.
My overall reaction to this group of papers is that they collectively make the original post stronger. The post's main intuition is that medicine may need something analogous to the intermediate world models used in autonomous driving. After reading these papers, I think that intuition looks increasingly correct. The evidence is not that one paper has already solved the problem. Far from it. The evidence is that when researchers push models toward anatomy-aware object representations, region-indexed reasoning, explicit structural priors, and spatial evaluation, they often get better behavior. And when they measure genuinely hard 3D spatial reasoning, today's models still fail badly enough to show that direct pixels to answer intelligence is not the whole story. If I had to summarize the state of the field in one sentence, it would be this. Medical multimodal models are becoming better at talking about anatomy, and in a few cases better at grounding anatomy, but they still do not robustly think in anatomy the way expert clinicians do. That distinction matters. Talking about anatomy is not the same as carrying an internal anatomical model. Grounding a phrase to a box is not the same as understanding a body as a structured, constrained, deformable, functional system. Generating a plausible report is not the same as reasoning faithfully about distance, volume, and intervention-relevant geometry. So I think the post should lean into that. The strongest version is not merely that anatomy matters. It is that future medical AI probably needs a body-centric intermediate representation, with objects, relations, hierarchy, constraints, uncertainty, and eventually function and counterfactual change. Among these papers, Anatomix and AOR show how objectized anatomy-first modeling can help in chest x-ray interpretation. KG-SAM shows that anatomical priors and uncertainty still matter for segmentation, even in the foundation model era. Spatial med shows that the hardest part, robust 3D spatial reasoning with faithful quantitative outputs, is still very much unsolved. And that is probably the right closing thought for the post as well. We should be excited, because these papers point toward the right abstractions. But we should also be clear-eyed, because the full target is much bigger than better report generation or prettier multimodal demos. The real target is a model that understands the body as a structured world. That is where I would place the frontier.